Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. It was a full second day of the Frank Lemire Native American Presidential Candidate Forum yesterday in Sioux City, Iowa. Seven presidential candidates joined panels of Native leaders, elders, and youth to respond to questions about policy related to Indian country. Day two opened with former three-star Admiral Joe Sestak, who launched his bid for the Democratic nomination in June. Crow Creek Tribal Chairman Lester Thompson Jr. was part of Sestak's panel, and he used his time to question the candidate on policy related to mental health. Chairman Thompson notes the suicide rate is up 139% for Native women and 71% for Native men since 1999. He asked Sestak how he'd address mental health care and lack of funding in Indian country. Here's part of Sestak's response.
But if the proper funding were going in, and the best mental health care you can get in this nation, according to a study of RAND or New England Journal of Medicine, is in the VA. It should be the same way, because there's no difference of how Indian health services and all are provided. It's very similar, and you know that. And it should be on the same way that they do it, because it's integrated care. And the mental health is there on the front line, sitting next to the physical doctor. And that's another way they do it. But it's inadequate here.
The lone independent candidate to participate in the forum was Mark Charles, himself a member of the Navajo Nation. He opened his time with a condemnation of elements of founding documents of the United States, like the Declaration of Independence, calling it, quote, a white supremacist document based on the segment that refers to Native peoples as merciless Indian savages. When he was asked if he supports the Remove the Stain Act to rescind the 20 Medals of Honor given to U.S. soldiers after the Wounded Knee massacre, Mark Charles did not hesitate to agree. He points out that three of the medals were awarded to soldiers who directed fire into a ravine where Lakota people were hiding.
Absolutely, we need to rescind these medals. They have no place in a nation that claims to value freedom and equality and diversity and pluralism. These medals are not only a stain, they are blood dripping from the clothes of this nation. We don't just need to rescind them, we need to wash the clothes.
That was a stark contrast to the much more guarded response to the same question from former representative and Democratic candidate John Delaney.
And this is always a very difficult issue, which is what you do with medals as we look back over time and have different standards and apply different things. And I think it's incredibly important that each one of those situations be looked at, because there's families and there's stories associated with these things. And I'd want to do that before I would commit to this specific situation and the specific individuals. So I can't say right now, because I haven't gone through the 20 stories and the 20 situations.
However, Delaney says he will sign the act as president. All other candidates of the day voiced very clear support of the Remove the Stain Act. Former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Julian Castro took the stage next. He's the first 2020 candidate to launch a distinct platform on Native American issues. That platform focuses on topics like housing, sovereignty, pipelines, and health care. Cheyenne River Tribal Chairman Harold Frazier asked Castro how his administration will tackle the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women. And Chairman Frazier uses the example of an elder on his reservation who continues to pray for the return of his daughter, Sharon Bald Eagle, who's been missing since 1983. Castro responded with support of legislation like Savannah's Act, which requires consultation between U.S. attorneys and tribes.
And that the federal government gets more serious by investing the resources for investigation and by keeping track, by tracking the cases of missing and murdered women and girls who are Natives, which we don't do, haven't done, with the same kind of precision that you would if somebody was missing, you know, that's non-Native.
Castro also received a very positive response when he discussed his plan to tackle homelessness, specifically for Native American veterans, by strengthening tribal liaison programs in federal departments like Housing and Urban Development, and reinstituting the Tribal Leadership Summit at the White House. That hasn't happened since 2016. He also talked about establishing an indigenous council at the White House to improve that relationship. The audience ended up giving Castro a standing ovation after his time was up. Later, Senator Kamala Harris joined via Skype. Chairman Frazier asked her why, when she was serving as California Attorney General, her office denied tribal requests to regain land out of trust. Harris answered, first stating that the nation needs to understand the U.S. government stole land from Native tribes.
As the lawyer, as the law office for the governor, we had to file those letters. But that was never a reflection and has never been a reflection of my personal perspective. And when I have had the ability to independently act, not on behalf of a client, I think my history and my positions are very clear. Which is that there has to be a restoration of tribal land. And my view is very strongly that the acquisition of land in trust is essential to tribal self-determination and providing the foundation for not only economic but also political growth, and it has to be honored.
Later during her panel, Editor-in-Chief of Indian Country Today, Mark Trahant, who was moderator of the panels throughout 2 days, asked Kamala Harris how she might, or what needs to happen to improve representation of Native Americans in the country's judicial system. She responded by saying simply, "We need a new president." And that response drew widespread applause. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio also joined by Skype. Oglala Sioux Tribal President Julian Bear Runner was one of his panelists. President Bear Runner asked de Blasio a two-part question. First, how would he facilitate the return of the Black Hills to the Lakota people? And second, would de Blasio support clemency for Leonard Peltier, who's serving two life sentences connected to the deaths of FBI agents after a shootout during the occupation of Wounded Knee in the mid-70s? De Blasio agreed clemency is overdue.
I will do anything I can to support you in seeking that clemency. It's time. In terms of how we make right the history, again, I always will tell you when I don't know the exact path, but that I think if we meet in mutual respect, the path often will become evident. The history referred to around the Black Hills must be answered. It can't be ignored.
De Blasio went on to say he doesn't have a better answer than that, but hopes to work together with tribes to come to a solution. The final candidate of the forum drew by far the largest crowd and the warmest reception. Senator Bernie Sanders has received widespread support in Indian Country, in part for his stances on climate change and support of demonstrations at Standing Rock. Faith Spotted Eagle, an Ihonktewan elder from the Yankton area, told Senator Sanders about her need of a knee replacement. She says she's been waiting 15 years, but IHS won't support the surgery because the issue isn't life-threatening. Sanders, a supporter of universal health care, says that level of care is a human right.
We will reform fundamentally the Indian Health Service so that it will take care of your knee and the needs of all Native American people. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I know people say, well, you know, the truth is this, within the context of a multi-trillion dollar federal government, is not an expensive proposition. We could provide quality health care to every Native American person, and trust me, it'll cost a lot less than one new weapon system for the Pentagon. All right, so.
Limited time meant only three of Sanders' panelists were able to pose their questions before the forum wrapped, and the senator met with tribal leaders privately. Hundreds of attendees from around the nation were part of this historic forum, the first of its kind, to invite presidential candidates to directly discuss Native interests with Native peoples. Four Directions, the Native American Voting Rights Group, Executive Director O.J. Siemens, who is one of the event's organizers and a member of the Rosebud Tribe, told audiences yesterday not to let this be the only 2 days America knows they exist. Organizers say they hope to continue events like these for elections in the future.